everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom, how are you today? Give me a thumbs up. There you go. Tom Fairbanks engineering our show on the other side of the glass, and we welcome you to the program on this Friday, the 7th of August, 2015. We're live each weekday, 12:04 to 1, right here on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We live stream our show, so it's really possible for folks to listen anywhere in the world on the streaming podcasts, and that is available at kvoi.com and on my website, buckmastershow.com. That is the place at buckmastershow.com. We've got the complete archive, and usually we have the show posted within about an hour of its conclusion, so folks can tune in and hear it at their leisure. Our media partners, on Friday, we do a big shout-out to our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, The Green Valley News, and Sojourita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com. Our Friday Focus interview today, State Senator Steve Farley. Mr. Farley is a Democrat representing the Tucson area from District 9 at the state legislature. Joining me in studio, we have Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. And we have Linda Valdez. We welcome Linda back to the program. Linda, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Republican. And even though she works for the Republic, she is a Tucsonan and has been in Tucson, let me see if I can get this right, since
1964. Yes.
Unbelievable.
1964.
So for all of those listeners who say, oh, you've got somebody from Phoenix, she doesn't know what she's talking about when it comes to Tucson, you live here.
I do live here. I am a Tucsonan.
Okay. Let's go now to Steve Farley. Mr. Farley, Senator Farley, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, both?
And you are a Tucsonan.
I am a Tucsonan, yes. There are a lot of Tucsonans in your audience.
Right? Yeah, right. Let's talk a little bit about the CD2 race on the Democratic side. Your friend, Matt Hines, Dr. Hines, who you served in the legislature with, has announced he is running for Congress in CD2. And then you have Victoria Steele, state representative, also from the Tucson area. At one time, your name had been tossed around as a possible candidate. Am I to assume, are we to assume, you're not thinking about it? And if not, who are you going to be supporting?
No, I'm not thinking about it at all. Ultimately, I've come to the conclusion that serving in Congress is one of the least desirable things to do in the country right now. I just don't see them putting anything together. The latest punt on their transportation funding just recently, where they enacted the 36th short-term renewal of our transportation funding for the nation, and that was the 36th short-term since 2009. It's insane that we're not acting on that, but it's emblematic of why Congress is a place that seems to have been attracting people who are primarily interested in politics rather than policy, and I'm a policy wonk. So I just realized that's not where I want to go. And right now for that race, I'm endorsing Victoria Steele because I served with her as my seatmate. I think she's done a great job, and I think she'll do a really good job and putting a great fight against Martha McSally and has a real possibility of winning.
All right. Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson of The Star.
So do you get tired of people asking if you're going to run?
Well, I like to redirect it to other things that are more relevant to me, as I did just then. So if it's an entree into talking about things like improving our education system or our transportation system here in Arizona, then I'm fine if they ask the question.
So along those lines then, I mean, you talked about Congress being just nuts. What about the state legislature? Is that a more sane place?
It isn't, but it's within reach. And that's where I feel like that after, this will be my 10th session I'm coming up to in January. And after that much time of being in that place, I have a pretty good sense of how things work, and therefore I've been able to do some stuff that's been pretty significant in my years there. And I really see an opportunity in 2016 in particular of Democrats taking the majority, aside from a tie and one time in the majority, we haven't had a majority since 1966. And in the Senate, I think we have a chance of doing that, because it only takes three more seats to get the majority. And I think if that happens, there's a real opportunity that we can show the moderate independents, moderate Republicans, that actually Democratic rule in Arizona is not what they might fear, but in fact would be better off for pretty much everybody, including the business community.
Here's Linda Valdez of the Republic.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Linda.
One of your big issues is something close to my heart, because I do drive back and forth to Phoenix from time to time, and that's the whole dust storm issue. What? Not much happened. Is there something afoot? Can we look forward to some progress on that?
There is something afoot. It has taken a while, but the fact that I've been continuing to ask questions and have been actually working with Pinal County officials on this has led to conversations that led to other conversations that brought up an idea that people had basically forgotten about. There was an experiment in the 70s where the worst stretch of dust for I-10 was actually just south of Picacho Peak. And in that area, the landowner decided to allow the U.S. Department of Agriculture Soil Conservation Service to do an experiment in which they basically just plowed out 18-inch swales that are perpendicular to the highway in about a mile-long stretch, and they seeded it with native plants. And I went down there and looked at it. That was 1979. And it is still visible. Actually, you can look at it from Google Maps. It's still visible from the air, and you can still walk around on it and see how it carries the rain we do get off the highway, and it creates these swales where now mesquites are along these swales. And what that is, it only needs to be 18 inches high in order to disrupt the surface flow that causes these extremely deadly type of dust storms that we've seen north of Picacho.
So who pays for that, Steve? Does the state pay for it, or the landowner, or how's that funded?
Well, it's incredibly cheap compared to other things, because it's basically getting a tractor and a few people for labor for a couple of days. So we're now in talks. I've been working with Tony Smith as a Pinal County supervisor, and we're now in talks with the current landowner of the parcel that is the biggest trouble north of Picacho Peak, around mile marker 214. And that person who is currently owning it is interested in potentially pitching in and doing it himself, because I think he sees the advisability of reducing your liability for something that might happen on your land that could cause dangers to the highway adjacent. And I think we're going to be able to get something done where it's a public-private partnership, and it won't cost very much either, and certainly will cost a lot less than all those lives we lost in the area.
All right, let's go to the live line. Matthew has a question for State Senator Steve Farley. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, Steve, the 1% cap issue that's affecting Pima County taxpayers, because it's going to cause us to lose $14 to $20 million that normally would be appropriated by the state to pay for TUSD and other. I'm not sure if it's beyond TUSD, but other. Maybe other school districts.
Yes, about $8 million of that is TUSD, and the rest would go to Pima County for other services.
Right. Now, TUSD, the Pima County Board of Supervisors, traditionally has no role in school issues. But since this involves TUSD, is there any way that TUSD and the DSEG case with the federal court could be used as a venue to get this case heard before a federal judge to say that the state legislature is basically jeopardizing the DSEG situation by going after Pima County's in this way and not appropriating the money as they have done for 30-plus years. Is there any way you could talk with TUSD's a board and see if they and the county are talking about, because TUSD has a great relationship with, they understand the federal judge, they understand.
Right.
Okay, Matthew, let's let Steve finish there.
They have been talking, and I have been talking with Superintendent Sanchez and a couple board members about what possible responses are. And as you pointed out, the state Supreme Court rejected Pima County's appeal directly to them, so it has to go to Superior Court. I think that's where it has to go for that particular case. However, the federal plaintiffs, as you point out, are already involved in this because of the court order for the federal desegregation order. And they're watching everything very carefully, because part of the court order is that the state has to keep up its end of the deal and continue to fund it. As you know, I was fighting very, very hard, and I was successfully able to derail a freight train headed straight towards TUSD's funding when ATRA, the Arizona Tracks Research Association, this year was pushing with everything it had to try to get rid of all of the $63 million a year that and desegregation money that TUSD gets. Would have devastated education for all of those kids that TUSD serves. I was able to derail that in the legislature, but they will be coming back for it. But all these things, because TUSD is under court order, they have about five different people external to the board and external to the superintendent that have to review all funding and budgeting decisions. And this will certainly be one of them. So they will enter into it at some point.
All right, before we take the break, another education question. JTED was basically, it was not totally defunded, but the Joint Technological District here in Pima County got a huge hit. Will that be reintroduced to kind of restore the funding to JTED?
It certainly will, and you're right. It wasn't like directly cut off, but it was sent into a death spiral with the types of cuts that happened. I've heard that even on the Republican side, there are several people in the legislature who did not know that's what was going to happen because it all happened so quickly in the three-day budget process. And no one, even on the Republican side, was allowed to look at it before they had to vote yes on it. So I believe it will come back. And there will be enough money to restore it, as well as restore our universities and a lot of our K-12 cuts that they did the last session. Because it now is revealed, I was saying that in March when the budget was rushed through in 3 days, that part of the reason it was rushed through was in order to make more cuts, because they knew there was going to be some pretty good financial news for the state revenues coming out. Now we're looking at about a $750 million surplus, if you include the rainy day fund, instead of the cuts that they thought they would have to make because of a purported deficit. We should, in my view, be going back to a special session right now and restoring those cuts because we have the money instead of waiting until January. Because every month that goes by is another month where you're losing a kid in their grade level. And we can't afford to do that. I mean, every one of those things, JTED, K-12, universities, community colleges, those are things that help prop up the middle class in Arizona. And that's who's really been suffering with this recession and will continue to unless we find ways of ensuring their economic future.
Before we take the break, just as an aside, I interviewed Dr. Dennis Hoffman, the ASU economist, who has really been doing the numbers, crunching the numbers for the state for many, many years as a contract with the state. He warned lawmakers, well, not necessarily warning them, but telling them there's going to be a lot more revenue coming up in the latter part of the spring if you would hold off and not adjourn the session, but your colleagues went ahead and did it anyway.
Well, our state government is in the grip of ideologues who believe that they should cut, and then cut some more. And on top of that, they'll cut taxes for corporations, so there'll be less money in the future. Mm-hmm. It gets in the way of that ideology if you actually have more money to spend on the things that people really need and want. And that's part of why it's so aggravating to me and pretty much anyone else who's involved in public schools in Arizona that they still haven't settled the court order inflation lawsuit. There's about $330 million that needs to be settled and going to our schools right now, but President Biggs and Speaker Gowan have refused to settle that suit. That has to happen. It has to happen immediately.
All right, we're going to take a break here on the Buckmaster Show. State Senator Steve Farley will stick around. He'll be back for our second segment. Linda Valdez of the Republic and Sarah Garrett Gasson, the Star, will stick around as well. But right now on Fridays, we do our bumper music. It goes back to the 60s. Today we're featuring Barbara Streisand from the first album, and many people believe this may be the best album she ever did, 1964, People.
People who need people are the luckiest people.
ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Monday for the Monday Political Face-Off featuring John Munger and Vince Robigo, plus our monthly visit with Dr. Mark Sykes. He heads up the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, with anywhere in the world live streaming podcasts and archive at buckmastershow.com.
Absent-minded me.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. 1222, the music of Barbara Streisand from the first album, 1964. State Senator Steve Farley is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Linda Valdez is here from the Republic, and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star. Speaking of, Sarah, you're up to the bat. You're up to the plate.
Up to the plate. It's my turn at bat.
You can. That's right. It's your turn.
I will pitch a question.
There you go.
Steve, I wanted to ask about the surplus going forward. We were talking about that before the break, and I know some folks in leadership on the Republican side are saying, "Well, it doesn't matter that we have all these new revenues and more money, that things are going to stay the way they are, and cuts aren't going to be restored." Do you think that there's any hope that any of the cuts will be restored, or maybe it won't be so bad next time?
Well, I think there are members of both the House and the Senate on the Republican side who are not as ideological as their leaders are. And I think there will be a lot of pressure inside their caucuses to decide to restore some of that stuff. They've actually gone out to their districts and tried to defend those education cuts that they did, and they've not gotten a good reception. So they don't want to have that happen again. So I think there is a chance that, we will get some stuff restored and, things coming back. They have to get the $330 million to our K-12 schools because the court has ordered them to do so. Unless the court decides to go for a contempt of court charge, send them all to Joe Arpaio's tent city. I have a hard time believing that's going to happen. But we really got to do some of these restorations. And even if they think that there's only one-time money, there's things you can do to restore agencies that were cut during the worst times. And a lot of the funds that were that made some agencies self-supporting could be restored, such as in the Arts Commission. They were zeroed out to nothing, and their entire arts endowment was raided to zero. That was $20 million that was raided, that was brought up in, over time, in which we could restore that, and then they could live off the interest off of it. So there are a lot of options that, could be done, and there are some people I've been talking on the Republican side about different strategies for how to fund the things that Arizona really needs to move forward, despite the ideology of our leadership. So I have great hope, but you know, you don't serve in the legislature for 10 years without somehow keeping your hope.
Here's Linda Valdez of the Republic.
Steve, I'd like to come back to the budget again and the process. You mentioned the three-day budget process, and I think people of all political stripes were pretty shocked by that. It's and I'm wondering, is there any hope to open the process up? I know it's been becoming more secretive over the years, but is what could the average person do to, make sure that process is more open and responsive?
The average person can vote for the Democrat instead of the Republican in their district next election so the Democrats have the majority, because we're going to change the way things get done. That's one of the key reasons to vote for that. And that sounds more partisan than I like to sound, but after serving for this long in this legislature, you have to realize that the party that has the majority has all of the control. They appoint all the committee chairs. Senator Biggs, in particular, has been ruling those chairs with an iron hand. Just one example of that, my driving while texting ban, which I've tried to get in place since January 2007, was actually heard and unanimously passed by a very conservative committee led by John Kavanaugh this year. But after that happened, because Senator Biggs assigned it to four different committees before it was able to go to the floor for a vote, he talked to the committee chairs of the other committees and threatened their bills with being killed if they dared to hear my texting bill. That's the types of techniques and strategies that are being done by this group that's running the House and the Senate.
Okay,
right,
but while it's going on, I mean, it's fine to say vote for Democrats, and I'm not saying whether that's a good or bad idea, but while the session is going on, does it have an impact if people call, write letters? Is there something you can do to impact that process as an average citizen?
Oh, you can make it as uncomfortable for them as possible, but I think we've seen that at least Senator Biggs prides himself in being unbudgeable by anybody. He's even been attacked by the right because he refuses to agree to one of the conservative things of wanting to have a constitutional convention. So it's very difficult, and that's not the way our democracy should be. Our voices should matter. And we had unprecedented responses to the proposed education cut last time. We've had all sorts of parents, many of whom said to me they voted for Doug Ducey thinking he would be an education supporter. They came out and protested the type of budget that was coming through that was being supported by Ducey, Biggs, and Gallon. And their voices didn't seem to matter. When we had an appropriations hearing in my committee in Senate on the second night of our budget process, there were 63 people signed in against the budget, and one person from the Goldwater Institute signed in favor of it. They gave 5 minutes to the Goldwater Institute guy, and they told the 63 against that they should decide which person should give their response in 5 minutes to the budget. That's the type of lack of transparency that is shocking to me, and it should be shocking to most people who believe in democracy. And I'm not sure that's going to get better until we change who's in the majority.
All right, let's go back to that driving while texting bill. You said it was first introduced in, I believe, 2007. You said how many states, you were the first lawmaker, I believe, in the country to bring this to the attention of the public. How many states now have adopted the ban on texting while driving?
There are now 48. it's just us in Montana sitting there as the outliers, and I hear Montana is getting closer to doing it too, so it might be just us. And the lives, we're still losing people. And in fact, just in late June, there was a 29-year-old father who was killed on Ajo Highway by a 17-year-old driver who, the police report was just released, admitted that she was looking at a phone at the time. These things are going to happen in our communities consistently. They're not going to stop. And it's we need to have a law to make clear that this is not something that's allowed to do in Arizona. If you don't have that law, it means that people who kill other people are going to get off, like the guy who's the truck driver who killed the officer in Yuma. We need to have that law in place and make absolutely certain that you cannot play with your phone in any way while you're driving. It's just not possible. You're going to kill somebody, and you might make yourself into a murderer.
Well, it's very ironic that we may be then the last state that has not adopted that, when we had a lawmaker who was the first to bring it to folks' attention. So I assume you will try again.
I will be trying again. In fact, this year I have another little, a different way of trying to make it happen. Senator Biggs, the president of the Senate, has been my nemesis on this for the entire time. He's been single-handedly able to kill it every single year. This year, one of the things he said is he thinks we have too many laws on the books. And I'm going to take him at his word this time, and instead of introducing a new law, I'm going to introduce amendments to the DUI laws and to the speeding laws to specifically mention electronic handheld devices. And I'm hoping that overcomes his objections. We'll see what he comes up with next.
All right. State Senator Steve Farley, hope you've had a good summer so far. You've been traveling?
I have. I actually spent 2 weeks in Japan with my youngest daughter, Gigi. Both girls, I told them when they turn 16, I'll take them anywhere they want to in the world. And we had a great time.
All right. Thanks. Steve, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you, Bill. And thank you, Linda. And thank you, Sarah.
All right. Thanks a lot. 12:31 on The Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today with State Senator Steve Farley. We're going to take a break here. Listen to the fine sponsors who make The Buckmaster Show possible. We'll be right back.
When on foreign shores I am, very truly yours I am. But if inclined to play, sweetheart, that's the way I am. When in Spain, for reasons I don't...
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
I'm all smiles, darling.
Yes, indeed. I'm sitting here with a big smile on my face, listening to one of my favorite albums, Barbara Streisand, the first album, the People album. Can't believe it. Back in 1964 was the debut album. This gives me sort of a chance to relive some of my 60s music thing. On Friday, we do the little bit, the bumper music from the 60s. Both my in-studio guests here, though, are too young to remember much of the 60s. I mean, they've heard 60s music, but they didn't really live through it. Linda Valdez.
That's not true.
Linda Valdez is here making her triumphant return to the Buckmaster Show. Linda, editorial writer, columnist for the Arizona Republic, and she has been, speaking of 1964, when Streisand released that first album, that is when Linda moved to Tucson. From where?
From Cleveland, Ohio.
Wow. And you were just a little girl.
I was 11.
11 years old. Very cool. And Sarah Garrett Gasson does not remember much about, because she was not born in the 60s. Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for The Star. We won't ask when you were born.
1971.
Oh, well, thank you.
Close.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
For those of you at home keeping score.
But I know you and your husband really dig 60s music.
We groove on it all the time.
You're really grooving on the 60s.
Are.
Hey, we have to start talking about Donald Trump, and I'll try everybody talking about Trump after last night's debate, but I'll try to make it a little more local. That polling, Linda Valdez, shows pretty much what Trump's been getting, 25% to 35% around the country. This is the hardcore Trump followers.
He has a strong following, and I think John Kasich mentioned it last night in the debate. You can't dismiss it. You cannot dismiss him because he's touching a chord. I think the other thing that's important to remember is the Republicans try to disavow him, but he grew in their garden. He speaks their rhetoric. He just does it in a much more blunt and straightforward manner.
At least he, for a percentage, I would say, of maybe the Tea Party faction, certainly he speaks for them.
He resonates most with the Tea Party.
With the Tea Party folks.
And I think, I mean, he says what he thinks, and so when he says, you know, misogynistic things and criticizes women on their looks, and it's just gross in general, you know, he's out there. You know what he thinks at that particular second, evidently.
Then
you know,
he says he's just kidding.
Right, which is just...
It's an easy way out.
Yeah. But for the other Republican candidates, you know, they're not... They may... endorse policies, you know, like Jeb Bush and his comment on do we really need to fund women's health care? it's more nuanced, perhaps, but maybe the message isn't that far off.
See, I agree with that. I don't think the message is that far off, really. I don't. But I think the thing about Trump is he doesn't sound scripted. All those other guys sound so scripted.
I know.
People are tired of that.
They really are. Hey, let's. Our friend Jim has called. Jim Kelly wants to weigh in on this. And Jim, I know you were posting a lot. Well, you were posting a lot last night during the on Facebook. Has kind of given us a play-by-play and some of your thoughts. Jim, what do you think?
Well, in Jim's defense, the women's health care. What he meant was Planned Parenthood, and he walked it back to saying that there are community health centers that are delivering far superior and more women's health care services that are more deserving of the $500 million that we give to Planned Parenthood presently. So that's in Jeb Bush's defense. Now, what I wanted was from you two, because I know neither one of you are exactly, friendly towards Republican candidates, but I did want to ask you, last night, were there any Republican candidates for the presidency whose immigration policy that you believe to be more humane, more sane, and more intelligent than, say, some of the more bombastic comments from the hardliners that were up there last night?
Absolutely. This is Linda Valdez. Absolutely. I mean, I think that Jeb Bush distinguished himself by saying he still supports a path to legalization. I also think he was the only one up there who recognized that the Republican Party in general is in trouble nationally if they don't tone down the rhetoric on immigration. I thought Marco Rubio looked the part. He looked like a Latino JFK. It's just that his rhetoric was a little bit extreme for me, but those two I thought distinguished themselves.
Sarah, what do you think?
And I would agree with Linda about the path to citizenship and what Jeb Bush has said, although he's kind of tried to walk that back too. He's big on the walking back. But of the group, I would agree with what Linda said.
And Jim, before
I have a follow-up question.
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to ask you something too. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, one of my follow-up questions, both Linda and Sarah, is I think Donald Trump has inserted something that I firmly believe is actually going to be a presidential issue come next summer. And that is perhaps we do need to abandon the Obamacare, the way that the Affordable Health Care Act is presently, and redevelop a single-payer system that is right, just, fair, and affordable for all Americans. And I want to know what the two of you think of that.
Well, I've supported a single payer from the beginning, that the single payer being the government. I think Obamacare sort of took a wrong turn on that one, but I cannot see a Republican Congress going along with that. I can't see Trump selling that to anybody.
And I feel like I'm just parroting Linda here, but absolutely. And I think interesting, I mean, a sign of that is during his appearance in Phoenix when he talked about, he said we need to repeal Obamacare. And then he said, but we need to take care of everyone. We need to take care of everyone. And there was sparse applause at best for that, even that notion that everyone needs health care. So I don't see it going anywhere.
Hey, and Jim, before you go, the deal with Trump immediately announcing at the beginning of the debate that that he may go third party, to me, that sounds like not only a threat, it's almost like a blackmail to the Republicans. Listen, you better get on board with what I'm saying. This is a huge issue for Republicans. Wouldn't you agree, Jim, that with that hanging over hanging out there, the third party, if he goes third party, of course, Democrats will be in the White House.
Well, you know, Bill, I think you're right in your assumption, mm-hmm. and I think you're right in your analysis of it. However, I will say this. If, for whatever reason, Trump takes that nuclear option, mm-hmm. it's going to challenge whoever the Republican nominee is, and I'm very upfront about this, I want it to be Jeb Bush. But I think it will challenge Jeb Bush and the entire Republican Party to bear down, really do the soul searching that is absolutely necessary to say, we need to be the party of what's best for everyone, not just a narrow 47% of the population that agrees with us. But we have to have a policy and a message that is about the entire United States, including the demographic changes that are inevitable to the next 20 years of our country. And that is something we've got to have a messaging for today and be prepared for Donald Trump's nuclear option come February or March, whenever he gets knocked out from whatever Super Tuesday delegate count ends up happening.
Here's Sarah.
Well, I mean, he's treating it like a business deal. He's an incredibly successful businessman. And so he's saying, do this or I will hold the whole thing hostage. Mm-hmm. And it's from a business standpoint, it makes perfect sense. He's used to getting what he wants and he's a bully and this is how he operates. And
well,
some people just love it.
Welcome to politics.
Yeah.
Welcome to politics. You don't always get what you want because there are 535 other people that are going to have something to say about what a president does.
Okay.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. He's not always going to get what he wants, whether he likes it or not.
Okay, Jim, thanks a lot for weighing in with some of your thoughts here on Mr. Trump and last night's debate, which everybody is talking about. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Jim Kelly with us on the program, Sarah and Linda Valdez. Sarah, your column talking about the big problem that law enforcement is confronted with every day, and that are folks that is the mental illness problem. Sheriff Dubnyk, who you and I have interviewed, I think we were here together when Sheriff made his announcement that he was going to be retiring. I believe that was when we were together in January. Mm-hmm. And he brought this issue up. He cares very, very passionately about making sure law enforcement can deal with the mentally ill.
Absolutely. And Sheriff Chris Nanos, who was here a couple weeks ago when we were together, was talking about the mental health support team that is a group of, it's probably about two dozen, representatives from Tucson Police Department, all the area agencies, law enforcement, you know, Pima County Attorney, mental health organizations. They meet regularly, and they talk about this nexus between people in mental health crisis and law enforcement, because often, I mean, in my column, I cite the figure that a Tucson Police Department representative cited, which was 60 calls a day have something to do with mental illness.
Wow.
And that's only Tucson Police Department. That's not the county. So it's not that people with mental illness are more violent than the rest of us, statistically speaking, but it's that, and I shouldn't say the rest of us because that excludes people, than any other group of people, I should say. But it's that if someone is having some sort of crisis or talking to themselves outside the Circle K or creating a disturbance, you call the police for help and you assume that they're going to help the person and figure the situation out. So law enforcement comes in contact with people who have mental illness a lot more than you might think. And so the group that was meeting, the mental health support team, it happened to be on Sheriff Dubnyk's last day. And so he came in and he spoke and he was very eloquent and very tuned in to the issue. And he talked about the hard work and the needed work that we all have to do and to include people with mental illness and make it an inclusive society. And he knows very well what the costs of not doing that is.
And you want an officer who is going to respond, who has been trained, Linda Valdez, properly in dealing with these people.
Well, absolutely. It's a really complex problem, and Sarah did a wonderful job in her column of showing the human side of it. And the mentally ill should not be the purview of law enforcement, mm-hmm. but we do not have the services for them. We went through a process of deinstitutionalization decades ago, and part of that was supposed to be setting up community services for people, and it didn't happen. And the other huge part of this, I think, is homelessness, because a lot of those folks are mentally ill or substance abusers. And that's another issue that we just don't deal with. Year after year as a society, we just put it off and don't deal with it, or we leave it to law enforcement. So it's a big problem as you say, the police are doing it. They need to be properly trained. That's true. But it shouldn't be their job.
Because a lot of times the critical incident training is really important, CIT, because if you're having someone who is suicidal, say, and a family member calls the police and says, help, we need assistance here, or just any other kind of interaction, often the law enforcement training is that you assert your authority, you mm-hmm. take control of this situation, and to someone who's having in the middle of a crisis, that doesn't work necessarily.
No. You need immediate action.
And you also need the right approach.
Right.
And so officers who've been trained across the country, it's been shown that the results are much, much better. So I'm very glad that Pima County and Tucson Police Department are so on top of this.
Okay, before we run, I've only got about a minute, but the Star did a real comprehensive and I think very thorough report on Davis Mountain Air Force Base about a month or so ago. You're going to have a follow-up editorial in Sunday's paper.
Yes. One of the things that we advocated from our reporting when I went around to different cities is that Pima County, as the biggest regional government, should with the support of the other municipalities and supporters, create what we call the navigator position, which would be kind of the point person who deals with Davis-Monthan and really make sure that our community is doing everything possible to stave off any closures or reductions. And I'm glad to say that the Pima County Board of Supervisors is going to be talking about that on their meeting on Tuesday, and that Chuck Huckleberry, the county administrator, has included creating such a position in his economic development plan. So we're very excited about that.
Okay, and Linda, we'll be having Ken Bennett on the show on Tuesday. Mr. Bennett and Gary Keeney are the two announced Republicans so far in what I think is going to be a very interesting race in CD1. It's an open seat now with Ann Kirkpatrick going against presumably either John McCain or Dr. Kelly Ward. So Mr. Bennett will be with us, the former Secretary of State. And Tom O'Halloran, for folks that have been around a while, it's a name from the past. He's the declared Democrat so far in the race.
He's a good, solid candidate. He used to be a Republican in the legislature. Now he's a Democrat. He was a little too moderate for the legislature, so he was challenged in a primary and taken out. 03, I think mm-hmm. it was, and it's an open district. It's a competitive district that's going to be of national interest. That's going to be a really interesting race to watch.
And we did interview State Senator Barbara McGuire. She'd been talked about. She's a Democrat from Kearney, Arizona. She's been thinking about running, but it really came down in our interview, I think, to it's a money situation.
It's always a money situation in politics.
All right, Linda and Sarah, thank you both very much for taking part in today's program. Thanks, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, you
Thank
too.
Thank you. It was
All
fun.
Right. It was fun. Weekend Watch is next with Matt Russell. Tell us where to go to have a great meal this weekend.
I am woman. You are man. I am smaller.
so you can be taller than...
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sorita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sorita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a great place that would be this weekend, just 3 hours east of Tucson, to the cool mountain climate there of historic Silver City. So much to do. You can hike in the beautiful Gila, the nation's first wilderness. It's really greened up nicely with all the monsoon moisture. Great places to stay in Silver City, like Gila Hot Springs Ranch and Bear Mountain Lodge. Find out about all the things to do and places to stay by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Speaking of Matt Russell, he is the Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist, award-winning publicist, and good friend of the Buckmaster Show. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. Nice to be back. You know, after a week on Cape Cod where I had enough lobster rolls and oysters to last a lifetime, I'm ready to talk about some beef, Bill.
Yeah, I followed your postings on Facebook. It looked like it was Lobster City all the time. What do we got going here, Matt, for happy hour tonight?
You know, sometimes a great burger should be the centerpiece of a great happy hour. And when you can find one that pleases the palate at an affordable price, that's where our weekend begins. So I say, head over to Knox on Skyline and Campbell for happy hour today for their Knox Burger. Now, this brings together a tri-blend of chuck and brisket and sirloin, all with cheddar cheese and caramelized onions and applewood smoked bacon, served on a pretzel bun. And in celebration of International Beer Day today, I say wash it down with one of my favorites, the Lost Highway Black IPA from Flagstaff's Mother Road Brewery, at a discounted price to boot. Happy hour starts in just 3 hours, Bill, and for me, it's Knox.
Boy, that burger, I'd need a knife and fork to eat into that thing. That sounds huge. What about those that love the barbecue?
Yeah, my fellow brothers of the barbecue. They're going to be celebrating this weekend with the opening of Dickie's Barbecue Pit on the 7,000 block of North Thornydale in Marana, and it's going to be quite the party. They're going to have free giveaways later today, a grand opening event scheduled for tomorrow. Now, their meats are slow-smoked on-site in hickory wood pits, and we're talking pulled pork and tender ribs, spicy sausages, and some really unique sides like fried okra and jalapeno beans. Trust me, Bill, you will not leave hungry. So follow the smoke and join the celebration this weekend at Dickie's in Marana.
How do you learn from an Iron Chef?
This is so fun. Newly crowned Iron Chef of Tucson, Danny Perez, he's going to be holding court on Sunday at the Heirloom Farmers Market at Rialto Park Racetrack beginning at 9 a.m. Now, he's going to be conducting demonstrations on cooking with fresh produce that he picked out himself at the market. So what's he going to be doing with zucchini and tomatoes, summer squash, sweet peppers, and eggplant? You got to check it out on Sunday. Shop the market and meet Tucson's Iron Chef in person. I say it's a photo op moment indeed, Bill.
Sounds like a winner. Have a great weekend, Matt Russell.
Cheers to you, sir.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the contents of this program. On behalf of our very fine team here at KVOI, Ed Alexander, Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, and of course the ace in the production booth, Jerry Cross, and of course all of our fine back office staff. Everybody does a great job. And my executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt, making sure all of our podcasts are posted. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend.